friends, and welcome to the CU Insight Network podcast. My name is Lauren Culp. I'm the president and CEO at CUinsight.com, and it's my job on this show to have conversations with all of the thought leaders who support the credit union community. There are just so many of them, such a wealth of knowledge. And together, we get to identify those issues that affect credit unions and talk about the best practices that exist so that we can all learn from one another and improve our industry together. My guest on today's show is Randy Stulp. He is the president at Synergent. Really geeked up for this conversation. Randy, thank you for being here.
Thanks, Lauren. I'm excited to be here.
I always start off the show the same way with new guests, which is that most of us did not grow up thinking that we would get to work with credit unions. So tell me what you wanted to be growing up.
Wait, I'm still growing up, right? I really do believe that. I'm always, you know, I've changed so many times over my career, life. You know, I guess it's like, at what point when I was growing up, what did I want to be? Because I think there's probably at least, you know, 20 different things. You know, the earliest stuff I can remember is firefighter. I think we all, you know, ran around on the playground. I can remember, I'm going to really date myself. There was a show called Emergency on TV. I used to watch at my grandma's house, and I wanted to be a firefighter. It was one of the earliest memories. And then the one that stuck probably as I got older and I was musician. I wanted to be around music in some way, shape or form, and couldn't figure out how I might make money at it. And my parents couldn't figure out how I might make money at it. And so they steered me a little bit into business.
I love that story. So maybe some music on the side still, or are you totally out of music now?
Yeah, nothing, you know, anywhere near semi-professionally, but I love every once in a while you'll catch me doing karaoke or doing, you know, something musical. I'm always tapping my fingers. I'm always doing something. There's something, you know, playing in my head.
There are a handful of credit union events coming up in Nashville this year. So if you and Randy are at any of those events, any of our listeners, you might want to challenge him to some karaoke. Randy, what was the journey like to your new role? Which, for those of you who don't know, Randy is the new president at Synergent. What was the journey like to do that?
Well, I'll keep with my music theme. It was a long and winding road for any of our Beatles fans out there. It's been a process. It's been a journey of probably 2 to 3 years of preparing. There's not a lot of opportunities. This is a really unique opportunity where a really large CUSO, 200 or so people work with Synergent here. And so there's not a lot of these types of opportunities around. I was looking at credit union CEO and participating in some of those searches. And each time I didn't advance in one of those, I would learn from that. And I would take another class or do another certification. And I've done a lot of things through, you know, CUNA's, America's Credit Unions, right? Get our lingo updated. But I've done a lot of things through them, highly involved in their councils program. And I finished my MBA the last 3 years as well. I was one of those people that said, oh, I don't have enough to do during the pandemic. Let me start my MBA. I did that, and I just kept building and building. And this opportunity presented itself. And the more I learned about it, I was like, wow, it's like my whole life has been kind of steering me towards these things, technology and payments and, you know, core conversions in my past at credit unions. And it just felt right.
One of the things you said that really resonates with me is, you know, every time you took a new opportunity or were looking at a new opportunity, you were always learning something from it. You then took another class or learned something a different way. That resonates with me a lot. I think that's such a great approach to continual development. You said you're always still growing up. We're all still growing up. So I think that is such a good perspective.
Thanks.
Well, tell us a little bit more about Synergent. Where does Synergent add value for credit unions?
I look at Synergent as a purpose-driven, people-focused cooperative. I've always looked at people as our best technology. And I think that that's one of the areas where Synergent and I are very aligned. We are focused on service excellence and not just hosting things for credit unions. There's plenty of organizations that do that and do that really well. We wrap that in what we call a white glove service. There's all kinds of terms for that, but we can be as little or as much involved in the process and supplement a credit union's people. We really do that in a lot of cases. We are their marketing team. We are their core conversion team, because a lot of credit unions don't have that at all sizes. People are focused on doing their jobs, their day-to-day jobs, to make sure that they're available for their members to do their banking. Every credit union that I've ever been at, the core and conversions and the digital banking conversions and everything else, that's like just added on top. We didn't go out and hire extra people to do that. And we're one of the few, if not one of the only organizations that will take on a lot of that heavy lifting for our credit unions. I like to create simplicity in a complex world. And I think that's one of the things that we can do for our credit unions, is just make it easy.
I want to talk about friction too, this idea that ideally our experiences are frictionless, but friction might be standing in the way of members doing business with us, especially when our digital experiences or processes as credit unions aren't up to speed. And it takes a lot of work to get a really seamless, frictionless experience, but it can be really hard for our members to bank with us in cases like that. How important do you think it is to make banking easier, or I could say to make credit unioning easier?
Term for banking, so we don't have to use their term, yes. But I just call it banking. That's what's relative to their members, right? And people understand that they're transacting, and that's called banking. Fortunate or unfortunate, it's just how it is, right? So I think it's critical that banking is easy. That's been my mantra for years when I was working at credit unions, is we have to be easier to do business with. And friction is just that all-encompassing description of when it's difficult to some degree to work with somebody or an organization. I think that it's not that credit unions are necessarily there, but it's certainly possible to be too frictionless as well. And I'll give Apple, I think, as the best example of that. I'm a huge Apple fan. I'm staring at three Apple devices in front of me as we're talking, Lauren. But they sometimes do a good job of making it too easy to use their products. And I think what I mean by that is you don't necessarily get to learn how to use the product completely. And you don't necessarily use all the features and functionality available. And so I think that's where you see things like Chime. Right. They have a very simple, easy to use interface, a very kind of slimmed down product offering. But it would be interesting if they were to try to offer other services, and they may, it's been a little while since they've been on their website, or they may get to it. It'll be interesting to see what happens with that, because their current environment is like almost frictionless in that. And so I think you can be a little too, again, we're not probably in danger, most of us, of hitting that, but it's critical. That's a mantra, going to be a mantra around here at Synergen, is that our purpose is to make it easy for people to bank with our partner credit unions, and to make it easy for their people to serve those members. Plain and simple. It's just, the easier we can make that, the better the experience. It's all about experiences to me.
That is such a good point about having too much friction. And another example of that I heard was, we want to add friction if maybe a member might be on their way to being taken advantage of in a scam or a fraudulent transaction. There is good friction.
Right. That's a perfect example. Fraud is so good an example of that right now, because it's so easy for people to move money around electronically. We don't necessarily get a chance to have that conversation with them. They're not necessarily coming into a branch to do that. So our credit unions don't have an opportunity to help them. So if we can throw an extra verification window in there, or if we can have something in our digital banking platforms that monitors member behavior, and when they do something unusual for them, custom to them, you know, it triggers things to happen, either that member or for the credit union to look at.
I want to switch gears for a moment and also talk about you as a leader. Your LinkedIn profile, which I love this, describes you as a technology philosopher, helping people navigate the intersection of people and technology. What a better role for you than leading Synergen. Tell me a little bit more about what it means to you to be a technology philosopher, and how that really shows up and impacts the work you do at Synergen and the work that your credit union clients are then able to do.
Sure. I still believe, I think I mentioned it earlier, that people are our best technology. It doesn't matter how cool the product is if we don't have good people around it. And everything starts and ends with our people. That intersection isn't the same for everybody. So it's really important to, you know, really take that kind of 30,000 foot level and see what that right mix of people and technology is for every credit union. ITMs are a great example. Some credit unions have gone fully into ITMs, and their geography and their membership base supports that. Other areas, it's not so important to have those ITMs, and they need a little bit higher touch. And there's still a lot of credit unions and banks, frankly, too, building branches. Branches didn't go away with the pandemic, but they continue to evolve. I think that that helps me bring a different kind of passion and energy to what I do, because I'm thinking about it. I'm the people side of technology. I always have been. I didn't grow up punching buttons. I have a dad that was a programmer back in the Navy with punch cards. I have a brother and an uncle that are software engineers. I tried it a couple of times. I couldn't sit still long enough. I couldn't stop talking long enough, probably more importantly. So I've been around it, but I didn't grow up necessarily in technology. I grew up around people. And so I do that, and I use that to help people think differently. My favorite authors now are people like Stephen Levitt from Freakonomics and Super Freakonomics, Adam Grant, his most recent is Think Again, Malcolm Gladwell, and the whole host of books, because they helped me help others think differently about the world around us. You know, it's not the same kinds of explanations for everything. And that's where the philosophy part comes into it, the philosopher. I could talk all day about those kinds of things.
It's so interesting. And we'll link to some of the books too that you're talking about, Randy, here in the show notes. But as you've taken the reins at Synergent, running a big organization can definitely be a heavy workload. How do you continue to maybe both find and create some harmony between work and your personal life? And how do you do that and model that for others?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question, right? If I could bottle that up, I would probably be a millionaire. It's hard. And I think that we have to admit that it's difficult and that we're not always going to be in perfect harmony with that environment. It's just a matter of how quickly can we get back to playing that right note. It's kind of like Malcolm Gladwell's 10,000-hour rule. Putting in that effort today pays off tomorrow. So you might be out of harmony for a short period of time, but that practice will get you back into harmony at some point. You know, we talked about learning, being willing to change your mind. Don't dig in on things. Don't be so emotionally invested. And it's difficult, right? Those are our ideas. And so they have a certain level of importance to us. But I've just learned over the years to get better and better at including others and collaborating and cooperating and finding ways to empower them to make those decisions. There's only one of me. There's 200 of us here. So I can't be the bottleneck. I have to learn how to empower others. And above all, I just try to have a lot of fun and laugh and encourage others to do the same. We spend a lot of time together, and we're about to spend, you know, 8 days together. So in DC at Governmental Affairs Conference, GAC. And, you know, if you're not having fun, you know, it's going to be a long week.
It sure is. You are still in your first 90 days as of the recording of this episode. But as we look to the future, what is your vision for Synergent, or what is Synergent's focus for the road ahead?
That's interesting, because that was, you know, that's always the, you know, the interview questions, right? Is what's your first 90 days look like? What's your first year look like? And I started off with, it's about people, process, and products. But the more we worked on that, even in just a short amount of time, I realized that that's not just a mantra for the first 90 days or first year. That's our focus going forward. Is we start with people. Service excellence is our differentiator. You know, we're like every organization. Sometimes we slip and we let service slide to some degree, but we get back on track. right? And so we have to focus on the people that make that possible, that first and foremost. So my first 30 days have really been an inward focus on our people here at Synergent. And it's been really tough because I want to get out and meet with our credit unions, and they want me to get out and meet with our credit unions. But I think it's really important to have that inward focus on our people. The next 30 days, including GAC and beyond, you know, I get a chance to shift that focus on people outward to the people that we work with and partner with. Process is like we talked about earlier, it's about being easy to work with. So are we efficient? Are we effective? And we're going to continue at Synergent to be the best integrator of products and services so that credit unions can make banking easy for their members and make working for their members easy for their employees. It's plain and simple. And then the products are, we're going to keep looking for ways to find the best products and services to bring to them. And the process and the people lead us into making the product side of it easier and bringing that to credit unions. Sometimes it's about bringing it to them at scale. Sometimes it's about doing the research for them. There's a lot of great organizations, and many of them are CUSOs, that are trying to make that easier, working with fintechs easier. But we can do a lot of the heavy lifting of plugging those things in for our credit unions because they're on our core. They're using our payment services and we're doing marketing for them. We can integrate those third parties easier, and then we can replicate that for other credit unions. We can't give away somebody's secret sauce. Right? We're not going to give away intellectual property that another credit union has worked hard to create an advantage in their marketplace, even though they're cooperating with other credit unions and we're doing that. But there's some things behind the scenes that we can do to make the programming part of that easier so that when some other credit union figures that out and wants to do a similar kind of thing, we can replicate the process for them and do that easier, faster.
Thank you for sharing both kind of your insights for what the future of Synergent looks like, but also some really, really wise words for credit unions who are looking at their technology, looking at what it means to have the right amount of friction versus frictionless. And just your approach to leadership in general is really inspiring. As we wrap up the show, I always like to have fun with rapid fire questions so that our listeners get to know you a little better. You personally are really well connected in credit unions, but we'll see if we can't get some nuggets out of here that people maybe did not know about you. So if you are ready, Randy, I will dive right in.
Yeah, let's go for it.
All right. And the questions are rapid. Your answers do not have to be. So the first question, who is someone in your life that was a great leader and what makes them so great?
I have to say I have two, really. One more on the personal side and one more on the career-focused side. First and foremost, from the very beginning when my wife and I started dating, my wife, Misty, stood out to me as a leader. Her commitment to her family, her grandfather passed away. Her grandmother lived. We were in Southern California at the time. It's a good 45 minutes probably to her grandmother's house. And there really wasn't as much family around there. She felt so strongly and was so worried about her. She moved in with her. We had been dating for a month. And all of a sudden, my girlfriend tells me she's moving, 45 minutes away to go live with her grandmother and make sure that her grandmother was taken care of. That spoke volumes to me, just her commitment to family, her kindness. And that has been something that has been unwavering throughout our relationship. We are this June, 29 years married, and another four that we were dating before that. So personally, I have to start with my wife, Misty. Professionally, my good friend, Michelle. I worked for her in my first credit union in our earliest days around each other. And she was the leader that probably taught me the most about admitting her mistakes and taught me how to start taking risks. On the admitting mistakes part of it, we had a consultant that we were working with that, I'll just be like frank and like short about it. We had a disagreement, myself and this consultant, and just kind of dug in our heels, and they kind of questioned my expertise and went back and tattled on me. Let's say I got written up. I got written up. This is a long time ago. And over time, this was early in my relationship working with Michelle. And we, over the next few months, she learned that I was right. Like the consultant was out of line because I was the point that we were trying to make the difference of opinion. I was actually right about the system and all those things. And she literally wrote a retraction to that write-up. I have never seen anybody do that. To that point in my career, she wrote, it wasn't review time. It wasn't anything. It was as soon as she realized that was wrong, that there was a mistake made, she acted quickly and decisively to correct that mistake and own it, right? And we talk a lot about owning our mistakes. And she did that. And then the fun fact, and this might bleed into like things that like not everybody knows about me until now, is that we went to a leadership appreciation. She took us and her other leaders out to lunch and a movie for a leadership appreciation thing that we did. And we went to, and somehow at lunch, it came up that not since I was a kid did I ever sneak into movies. And so we went to the movies and we paid for the first movie and we snuck into another movie. Afterwards, literally grabbed me by the hand and dragged me into another movie theater and said, you're going to learn how to take some risk. And, you know, it was just kind of a fun, interesting way. Maybe not the thing I'm most proud of, stealing a movie from the movie theater. But, you know, it's a fun story to tell now.
That is too funny. Well, if you are going to splurge on something, say you want to treat yourself, besides a trip to the movies, what is something that you might invest a little bit into, other time or resources?
It's usually travel, which is weird to say as much as I travel for work, but I love to travel. I never want to lose that love for travel. And if I'm really going to splurge, it would be a Backstage Pass travel tour. I came into the year before the pandemic. One of my favorite singers of all time, Jeff Tate from Queensryche, he and his wife, Susan, created this travel company. And they started taking people on guided tours of different countries that they had spent a lot of time in when he was on concert tours. They do Ireland, Italy, Scotland, and now they do some stuff in the US. They every once in a while, they'll do something in France. But I had an opportunity to go to Italy with them, and it was amazing. The friendships I've made with them and gotten to know them personally as real people, not just these rock stars, and the friendships that I've made. I am close friends with almost all the people on the Italy trip. Some people from our Montana trip have been added to that family now. And in fact, two of my friends from the Italy trip are going to be some of the first people to visit us in Maine because they're down in Long Island. And now we're close to be able to see them on a regular basis. So that's the, if I'm going to really do a big trip, it's a Backstage Pass travel and just the whole music experience. They take us through pubs and where they bring their acoustic guitars and their musicians with them. And we're singing Queensryche songs in Irish pubs. You know, it's fun. Or around the campfire in Montana.
That is amazing. That is an answer we have not gotten here before. We've gotten travel before, but this is a unique flavor of travel.
I tell people I have sung Queensryche songs in front of Jeff Tate, and I have sung Mr. Big songs in front of Eric Martin, the lead singer from Mr. Big. I have no business ever having stage fright again.
I love that. You actually led really well into my next question because it is travel related. So if you travel for work, which many of us do, what's the city that you're really excited to visit, whether for a conference or a client visit?
I'm going to cheat a little on this answer. It's not really a single city or place. It's really anywhere I have friends or family close by. I'm a big believer in kind of combining that personal and work. It's that whole concept of work-life harmony coming back again. I never want to lose that love of travel. So within reason, you know, it never comes back as like extra charges on the organization. I've got family or friends. I do my meetings or my conference and I stay over an extra night and I stay with them and I get a chance. Or even sometimes it's just as simple as don't rush back to the airport. And, you know, after meeting all day with somebody, rush back and take the last flight out, right? Spend the night, have a dinner at a nice local restaurant and enjoy where you are. So for me, it's not just one destination. It's anywhere really where I have family or friends that I can get a chance to see. And I've been blessed over the years that I've been able to reconnect with a lot of family and some friends that wasn't so easy when, you know, growing up without social media. Sometimes we kind of bash on social media now, but there are some good things too. And one of those is, you know, I've moved my daughter all the way across the country in 5 different places. She's still connected with some of her best friends, even back in California where we started.
That is a great answer. And I have to agree. Anytime I have friends or family in a city, it's always fun to be able to visit that one. You mentioned some great authors earlier, but what is one book you think just everyone should read?
If it was one book, it's actually one that I didn't mention. Those were all great books and authors and some of my favorites. I mentioned I read and I listen to books now too that help me think differently. I started off with John Maxwell and Patrick Lencioni and all of those great authors and books like all of us did. And then I just kind of somewhere in there, I transitioned to these books that make me think weird and help other people think weird too, because it's not enough. This is the thing I've learned coming in new to an organization several times over my career, this one only being the most recent, is that it's not enough for me to look on things with new eyes. I have an obligation to help those around me look at all of those things with new eyes too. And so my reading has kind of evolved into that genre. And the one book I would recommend everybody get right now is Range by David Epstein. It talks about the power of generalists versus specialists. And it really focuses in on the importance of something I've talked about for a lot of years, which is getting diversity in your experience. And that's a normal, natural thing. And we shouldn't be surprised when people drop out of West Point. I think one of the examples they gave was a high dropout rate of West Point, because these people come in as these cadets and they have this vision of what their life should be, right? And a career in the military, maybe. And then they get more experience and they go, wait, something's different, right? So we shouldn't, my daughter right now is a young college student and she, you know, is thinking like a lot of them about how am I going to make money and what am I going to do, you know, for a living? And I'm trying to encourage her not to worry as much about those kinds of things, that, you know, if you do something they have a passion for, then you'll find a way to earn a living at that and you'll have enough.
We will link to that book in the show notes here as well. The next question that we have, we already touched on a little bit earlier too, but what has been your best hack for creating balance and integration between your work life and what I like to call your life life? And I know we touched on that, but what's one, can you boil it down to one hack?
Yeah, it's going to sound kind of cliche, the first part of this hack, but I'm going to say it anyway, because cliches are only cliches because they're true. Love what you do. First and foremost, you know, love what you do. Find some alignment there, or love part of what you do, right? Sometimes we aren't always in a position to love everything about what we do. So find a part that you love. And then I look for overlaps, right? That's the real hack. Is the overlaps. Where can I create those intersections between my life purpose and my work purpose? And, you know, the travel that we talked about is a good example of that. I can create this overlap and this intersection by combining my love of travel with my need of travel and reconnecting with family and friends.
That is a great answer. Well, we're going to link to just everything we talked about today in the show notes, like I said. But my last question for you, Randy, is do you have any final thoughts you'd like to share or any final asks of our listeners today?
You might have to cut me off at some point on that. But no, I think that I would, again, encourage people. We've talked about this at a few different places today. Encourage people to keep learning and get diversity in their experience as early as possible, even before they get into leadership. It just makes you a stronger person. It makes you more resilient. It gives you so many more opportunities. The further you get along in your career, the older you get, the harder that gets. When you have families and a house payment obligation and kids in college, it becomes harder to shift gears and gain that diversity. And if you aren't already in something you love, it becomes hard to find those things. So I think I would do that. I would recommend people try to get a taste of everything. There's another great book called The Power of Regret by Daniel H. Pink. And it was one of my books that I used to learn from one of my experiences when I started interviewing for CEO opportunities, because I was one of those people that didn't believe I had regrets. And I, to some degree, I will still say that sometimes. And it's because I have this belief that everything happens for a reason. Karma, fate, God, whatever you want to call that, like where we're supposed to be, when we're supposed to be there, there's something for us to learn from that. And when we haven't moved along, we need to like look and listen even more carefully, because there's something we're still supposed to learn. And the power of regret helped me reframe that I don't necessarily have. I froze up on an interview question. That was it. That was that interview question. Like, it was something about failure. I don't remember the exact wording of it. It was one of my earliest CEO interviews. And I froze because I just don't think of it that way. I don't think of failure as failure and regret. I really kind of linked together and I don't think of things that way. And I just froze. And it felt like 5 minutes. It was probably more like 50 seconds, if it was even that. But I felt horrible. And then somehow this book just popped into my Audible feed. It was around and available. And I read a preview of it and liked it. And what I learned from Daniel Pink was that it wasn't that I have no regrets, it's that I move through them faster. I process them faster. And a light just went on. I'm like, oh, okay, this makes complete sense. And now I can answer that question very easily. It's just weird how that works sometimes. So I think that's a great book for people to read. It helps. It will help you understand resiliency as well. But resiliency is one of the best muscle memories you can build. And I heard somebody say it a different way, that it's not just about resilience, because you know, resilience, you snap back to the same place you are. It's really about growing as well. And so you need to do it in a way that you snap back, but different, as a different person, right?
Well, this is just so much insight all packed into one episode. Randy, thank you so much for being on the show today. Such a pleasure connecting with you.
Oh, thanks, Lauren. I really enjoyed it.
Stay well, and thank you to all of our listeners for tuning in today to the CU Insight Network podcast, and we will be back again next time.